This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Water down, death toll up. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, September 1st, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
As floodwaters recede, more than 40 people are confirmed dead in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, while Texas authorities say more than a dozen others are still missing.
The White House wants $6 billion in immediate funding to help Harvey victims. That's a fraction of what's expected for the long term.
Attorneys for President Trump have made the case to Special Counsel Robert Mueller against obstruction of justice.
And on the investment front, is it too late to get into the frothy stock of Apple ahead of the newest iPhone release?
Apple has been doing really well lately. It's not just the kind of long-term performance. It suffered just a little bit a couple years ago after an iPhone slowdown, but sentiment is kind of back with a vengeance. Recent earnings have shown that the fear of an upgrade cycle kind of depressing sales at the beginning of the year hasn't happened, and obviously that bodes very well. If people are still buying the older iPhone, it could mean big things for the launch that's coming in a couple weeks.
Jeff Reeves at investorplace.com on the pros and cons of buying Apple. He's here in about 20 minutes. Lives continue to be turned upside down in southeast Texas. The city of Beaumont, about 80 miles east of Houston, lost its drinking water supply yesterday for its 120,000 residents and was threatened by a rising river that forced the evacuation of 190 hospital patients. The powerful and massive storm Harvey has displaced more than a million people on the Gulf Coast and is blamed on at least 44 deaths. Survivors like Kimberly, whose home was flooded, were trying to put things in perspective.
You just have to say, you know what, at the end of the day, it's just stuff.
Yeah.
And I have two dogs, and I've got my daughter and my husband. As long as we are okay, that stuff isn't, you know, it's not that important.
Sue Perna says she not only lost her house, a car, and one of her dogs, but she also barely survived her rescue.
The water was so high, and all of a sudden, the boat capsized. They told me to start swimming because I was panicking. I was about to go under. I was so scared. I was so terrified.
Also, there were explosions at the Arkema chemical plant in Crosby, about 25 miles east of Houston, after it was engulfed by floodwater. Volatile chemicals ignited because there was no electricity to keep them cool. The White House has prepared a request to Congress for an initial $5.9 billion package in Harvey recovery aid, a first down payment on what's expected to be just a fraction of a larger package that could be more than $100 billion. The Trump administration wants $5.5 billion from the Disaster Relief Fund, and there's also a $450 million request to the Small Business Administration Disaster Relief Program. CBS News says the plan will be sent to Congress today, and House and Senate votes appear likely next week. In addition, White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders says the president will dig into his own bank account to help.
He'll pledge proudly $1 million of his own personal money to help the people of both Texas and Louisiana.
House GOP leaders have signaled they're aiming to act fast on Harvey aid. Much larger future installments will be required, but the initial package should not be controversial. It's designed to replenish Federal Emergency Management Agency disaster coffers through the end of September. The humanitarian crisis from Tropical Storm Harvey is likely to prove a massive public health challenge long after the waters have receded from the battered lands of Texas and Louisiana. Tens of thousands of Texans have been evacuated to shelters with pressing medical needs caused or exacerbated by a record-breaking deluge of rain and floodwater. More from Laura Kelly, health reporter at the Washington Times. Laura, what are you hearing?
The biggest problem was people coming in who already had the chronic conditions that were exacerbated by being in floodwaters or just being away from their normal routines. These are people who have wounds from diabetes, people who need dialysis, and then also people with mental health issues who require extra medication, and some of their medication was damaged. They lost their medication. And then what I found really interesting was at the convention center, they had tried to create a separate area for children with autism, adults with dementia, that really needed a calm and quiet place so they wouldn't get overwhelmed with all the stimulation and all the noise with 8,000 people in a place that could only hold about 5,000 people.
Goodness. How do you find quiet and calm in an arena?
No, that's the opposite of what it's set up for.
Jeez. On top of that, you've heard it, right? With barking dogs in cages, things like that, just kind of, these dogs are terrified or shocked or whatever. What are these folks supposed to do in such a chaotic situation?
Yeah, obviously, so I just, I haven't been there, and I was just calling, but everyone I spoke to, the doctors and the PR people, and then other people who were not in the convention center, but just Houstonians themselves, they remained pretty positive and were just really heartened by the fact of this sense of community and camaraderie of everybody pitching in to help out. The doctors said that they had such an immense number of volunteers that they actually had to turn people away from helping because there were too many people to help. They had too many people wanting to help. That is at least one silver lining in the story.
Yeah. We're speaking with Laura Kelly, national and health reporter at the Washington Times. She's written a piece entitled "Harvey Leaves Massive Public Health Problems in Its Wake." I thought it was interesting, too. You not only brought up the folks who are in need of current mental help, but also those who are going to need it afterwards, right after surviving something like this, I guess.
Right. So I tried to get kind of an idea of what is available and kind of what these people are going through. Obviously, it's really shocking, and we hear some really terrible stories of people not only being saved in immediate life-threatening situations. There was a CNN video of some reporters just pulling a man from his truck that was being washed away, but other traumatic events where people were just stuck in water for hours and hours on end, sometimes days. Some of these psychologists, psychiatrists, and social workers at the convention center were just employing some relaxation techniques, just talking with people, breathing exercises, and hoping to just keep them calm. I know the federal government also has set up kind of an emergency hotline that if you want to talk to somebody, a crisis counselor, about what you've been going through, that's also an option. And I just think it's important for people to realize that, they did go through a traumatic experience, and if they should reach out for help if they feel they need it.
What else jumped out at you? Anything else you want to mention, Laura?
The fortitude that people showed, and just this sense of community, and the amount of volunteers that have showed up and the amount of donations that have gone in. Everybody just seems really willing to help, and that seems to put a lot of smiles on people's faces. So if anything, it's just a really unifying time, which, yeah. What else can you ask for?
Thanks, Laura. Laura Kelly, health reporter and national reporter at The Washington Times. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys for your dog from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. Each monthly box is themed like Country Fair or Brooklyn Hipster and packed with new and unique toys that continue to keep dogs engaged, interested, and happy. Every month, BarkBox Paw Picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies and heavy chewer preferences. If your dog does not like something in the box, they'll even send you something they'll love for free. Because BarkBox is all about dog happiness. Free shipping on any BarkBox within the continental U.S. My dogs Lola and Daisy are going to love it when the treats and toys show up at the door. It'll keep them happy, and it's convenient for me. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/Gordon when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. That's BarkBox.com/Gordon to get a free month when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. Make your dog happy. BarkBox.com/Gordon. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. Lawyers for President Trump have met several times with special counsel Robert Mueller in recent months and submitted memos arguing that the president did not obstruct justice by firing former FBI chief James Comey. They've also questioned Mr. Comey's reliability as a potential witness. It's an exclusive story from the Wall Street Journal. Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
One memo submitted to Mr. Mueller laid out the case that Mr. Trump has the inherent authority under the Constitution to hire and fire as he sees fit. The Journal says another memo outlined why Mr. Comey would make an unsuitable witness, calling him prone to exaggeration, unreliable in congressional testimony, and the source of leaks to the news media. Meanwhile, congressional investigators continue to explore the issue of obstruction of justice, as well as possible collusion with Russian operatives during the 2016 presidential campaign. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Journal says in giving the memos to Mr. Mueller, the president's lawyers hope to get a swift conclusion to the obstruction of justice piece of the investigation and potentially an exoneration of the president. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, local officials count at least 40 deaths in Texas related to Hurricane Harvey, though that number's expected to grow as floodwaters recede. Houston fire officials are beginning the painstaking search of homes in the city for anyone left behind, which could take up to 2 weeks. But Mayor Sylvester Turner says the city is open for business.
There were some who said most of the city of Houston is underwater. That's not the case. Most of the city of Houston is dry. But do exercise extreme caution when you're returning to your home.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump will return to Texas tomorrow, traveling to the Houston area. Vice President Mike Pence visited Rockport yesterday to tour the damage and meet with storm survivors. Walmart has pledged $20 million to Harvey relief efforts and has launched a matching campaign in stores. The Red Cross, meanwhile, is asking people to make donations online at redcross.org and not to text them. Donors have been reporting suspicious replies with misspellings and attachments to click to confirm their donations, a process the Red Cross does not require for text gifts. So there's a very real concern about scammers. Closing arguments at a Centre County, Pennsylvania hearing on whether there's enough evidence to try 16 fraternity members in the alcohol-fueled hazing death of a 19-year-old pledge at Penn State last February. The judge could rule today. Timothy Piazza fell downstairs and lost consciousness during a drinking game known as the Gauntlet at the Beta Theta Pi fraternity, where no one called for help for 12 hours. The U.S. is ordering Russia to close its San Francisco consulate and two trade missions by tomorrow. White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders on the diplomatic spat.
We've taken a firm and measured action in response to Russia's unfortunate decision earlier this year. We want to halt the downward spiral, and we want to move forward towards better relations.
The U.S. State Department's move follows Moscow's reduction of U.S. diplomatic staff in Russia last month. Today is Force Friday, too, with the hype for the upcoming Star Wars film The Last Jedi launching on a pop-up augmented reality event in 20,000 retail locations around the world. After fans download the Find the Force app, you visit a participating Target, Walmart, Toys R Us, and GameStop location, and you use it to discover an AR character that will even pose for snapshots you can share on social media.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Your kids do.
Augmented reality. I think that's what happens like after a couple glasses of wine.
Oh, we'll save that for Labor Day barbecues,
yeah,
babe.
Good, thank you. 23 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Sleep Number. Right now, it's the biggest sale of the year, where all beds are on sale. Plus, save 50% on the Labor Day limited edition bed, only at a Sleep Number store. Apple will hold its next product launch on September 12th, just 11 days from now. And if the rumor mill about the highly anticipated iPhone 8 wasn't already impressive, buzz has climbed to a fever pitch now that investors have a date on their calendars. Does it make sense to have Apple in your investment portfolio? Here's Jeff Reeves, editor at investorplace.com. Jeff, how do you see it?
Well, I mean, you know, Apple has been doing really well lately. It's not just the kind of long-term performance. It suffered just a little bit a couple years ago after an iPhone slowdown, but sentiment is kind of back with a vengeance. Recent earnings have shown that the fear of an upgrade cycle kind of depressing sales at the beginning of the year hasn't happened, and obviously that bodes very well. If people are still buying the older iPhone, it could mean big things for the launch that's coming in a couple weeks. So, you know, momentum is good for the stock, and the iPhone has staying power. It's important to remember the iPhone is about 2/3 of their revenue, so this is kind of, you know, the dog's tail that's being wagged there. The entire company depends on this. So those are kind of the current issues, and of course, it's got a whole ton of cash. overseas, there's continued talk of tax reform. If that does happen and it can repatriate that tax at a better rate and keep more of it, it's probably going to be very good for the company. It's definitely going to result in some special dividends. So, you know, if you're looking for kind of short-term catalysts for the stock, there's a bunch out there right now.
I know you said sentiment is back, but why?
Well, I mean, mostly it's kind of, you know, the ebb and flow of tech. A lot of times people kind of fall off the wagon on these tech stocks. Like I said last year, you know, roughly a year ago, we saw the slowdown in iPhone sales for the first time ever. That's a pretty bad headline. But lately we've seen momentum come back. It's back to growth, double-digit growth predicted on this iPhone launch. So I think, you know, it kind of happens sometimes. These momentum stocks take a step back. People, they don't want to buy it at that big price, but then when it gets to a more reasonable price, they jump in, and that's really happened, you know, across the beginning of 2017. It looks like it might continue if we see a good launch in the fall.
How about the importance of cash on hand?
Yeah, I mean, it's staggering. Everybody talks about Apple's cash. Like, you can't discount the value of this. I haven't really used it for much, but $260 billion is a boatload of money. And even if you knock 35% of that off because of taxes, even if they don't get a tax holiday, they could just write a check for Walt Disney Co. Like, they don't have to raise any debt. They don't have to do any clever financing. Like, they just have the money laying there to buy Walt Disney, one of the biggest companies in the Dow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's really important to remember that while sometimes acquisitions, people maybe overpay, sometimes all this cash, you don't really know what it's good for. Just the law of large numbers here, it's hard to imagine any company that is better capitalized on the planet than Apple. And as an investor, that's what you want, either for stability or for growth opportunities. And I know people talk about it a lot, but it's definitely not something you should overlook.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Reeves, editor at investorplace.com. By the way, Apple stock is up more than 820% since the iPhone debut 10 years ago. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome aboard. Friday, September 1, Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Death toll passes 40 in the wake of Tropical Storm Harvey. The White House wants $6 billion in immediate funding to help, kind of a down payment. Hurricane Irma gains strength in the Atlantic. Trump attorneys approach Special Counsel Mueller about obstruction of justice. NAFTA renegotiations resume in Mexico City today. Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark has resigned. Not clear what his next plans are. And the 11-year-old Indiana boy who raised money to get medical help for his sick dog. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, for many Hurricane Katrina evacuees who ended up settling permanently in Houston, going through Hurricane Harvey and its aftermath has been like reliving a nightmare, one that surfaced a familiar terror, as well as hard-won experience. The incredible story from Wall Street Journal reporter Arian Campo Flores. Arian, almost unthinkable.
Yeah, you know, this. I had previously reported on Katrina evacuees who had ended up settling in Houston, which was the largest recipient of Katrina evacuees outside of Louisiana. So there's a big community there, as many as 40,000 people who settled there. And so now, you know, after having gone through that trauma 12 years ago, for many of them, Harvey was like reliving that nightmare. And so I interviewed a number of Katrina evacuees to see what their experiences had been. you know, for many of them, they were fine. They got through fine. They rode it out. They didn't take on water. But there are some instances that, like you said, are just gut-wrenching. There is the case of Terrence McKinney, who lost everything in Katrina, lost his house, everything torn away, all of his belongings, lost a grandfather, ended up settling in Houston, and now with Hurricane Harvey, lost it all again. His apartment in the eastern section, east of downtown, took on a lot of water. Many of his belongings were washed away. The windows were burst through. He had this very harrowing experience with his family of trying to get across a coursing river of floodwaters to get to a building across the street, up to a second story, so they could get to a higher elevation. And the current was just so swift that they had to form a human chain to try to get across. And in the course of it, he saw people being swept away by the water, one woman clutching a tree who wasn't able to hold on and succumbing to the water. So it was just, you know, for him, it was, as he said, it was like losing my mind all over again.
Sure. I mean, as he said, just he was watching death happen. I mean, how do you even put, how do these people even put into words what they've gone through?
You know, he just sounded so shaken, so distraught, you know, in speaking to him. And you could just see that, that it's just, you know, it's going to take so long to get over this. I mean, he feels like he's just starting from scratch again. He was after having gone through it, he was still trying to rescue relatives of his that still hadn't been able to get out of where they were. So he just, you know, he has just so much to try to reassemble in his life, but also a lot of emotional trauma that he's going to have to grapple with.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo Flores. His piece is called "Harvey Delivers Another Blow to Katrina Survivors." These are survivors of Katrina who relocated to Houston and are going through this all over again. How about the this one woman, Miss McGinnis, who like survived Hurricane Betsy, right? I mean, they're like, her family's trained to climb a ladder and get on the roof of the house. I mean, it's crazy,
right? Yeah, I mean, you know, for a lot of New Orleanians and you know, coastal residents in that region of the country generally, you know, many of these folks have become sort of hurricane pros or experts in some way. For Ms. McGinnis, she's 72 years old. She had been, you know, she evacuated New Orleans for Katrina, but she also lived through Hurricane Betsy in 1965. She now lives in an area of Houston that was actually a development made specifically for Katrina evacuees. The neighborhood has a lot of, still has a lot of folks who fled New Orleans.
Can't even imagine what some of those folks are going through. Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo Flores. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we keep seeing unique displays of coping from the brave victims of Harvey. A video of a Texas man playing a piano in his waterlogged house flooded during the hurricane has gone viral on social media. Eric Harding had returned to his home in Friendswood, just south of Houston, to collect some toys for his kids who were sheltering nearby. He says that his son, a piano player, had asked him to check on the family piano. Harding captured the moment on video and posted it to Instagram. His long and thoughtful caption to the video was also gaining attention, writing, "I think it's all finally sinking in a little. What we used to have going as a city is gone. I really think God is going to do something completely new here." Harding told CNN that he was heartened by the response he received to the video, which include a stranger offering to give his family a new piano. Yesterday, Harding joined his neighbors to help with the community's cleanup efforts.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, obviously the you know, him playing was very beautiful, but the visual of it is striking because he's sitting at the bench. The water is right up to the bench.
Yeah.
His legs obviously dangling in the water, right? And the water is just right there and it's rippling throughout the house, and the sunlight's coming in through the window.
Right.
It's a very
very striking visual.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. You're right. It's a fantastic imagery. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, you know, pianos have foot pedals.
Yes.
So he's obviously tapping those with his feet underwater.
Underwater.
It's just, it's like, you know what? I'll just sit down here in this pool.
Yeah.
Of goodness knows what type
right.
of contaminated water.
That's the other thing, too.
And just play the piano.
Ugh. I mean, every day we hear new stories like this.
I wonder if there's going to be a single picture that emerges from this. Right? Yeah, the old ladies in that nursing home, the assisted
yeah.
living facility, just sitting on couches in water. Like some of these
yeah.
images
yeah.
are
the one breathtaking. One of the few sort of positive benefits of everybody having a camera now is we sort of get to
yeah.
see these images we might not have seen before
yep.
During these types of tragedies. And Gordon, with all the news coming out of Southeast Texas, as we mentioned this week, we've hardly had any time for any dumb criminal stories. But rest assured, they're still out there. Doing their thing. For this one, we take you to Baltimore, where two men were arrested this week after police say they robbed a bar outside while off-duty officers were there for a police retirement party. The Baltimore Sun reports the men allegedly demanded cash from the register at a bar Tuesday evening while a group of officers gathered there for a longtime sergeant's retirement. The officers sprang into action, chased the men down, and arrested them. The owner of the pub was left scratching his head, saying that it's odd that someone would attempt a robbery because a police precinct station is right across the street.
Mm.
That's called not doing your homework
yeah.
on several different levels.
He's kind by saying it's odd.
It's odd.
Because
well,
I can think of
knows,
a stronger word
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, he knows. You know, he's you know, it's a great place for him to have his bar. It's a
right.
safe place. He knows the police are right across the street. They come over there a lot to probably drink after work. So he knows it's a pretty safe place. He's probably never been robbed before.
Right.
You know?
Because of
it's
that.
First time for everything.
Unbelievable.
Got to do your homework.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the duration and intensity of Harvey means the region's not out of the danger zone. Flash flood warnings are in effect in East Texas, the lower Mississippi Valley, and in the western parts of the Tennessee and Ohio valleys, where the storm's traveling over the next days in a weakened but very wet form. Some rivers in southeastern Texas are still rising and setting more records as the deluge makes its way downstream. But Harris County Flood Control District meteorologist Jeff Lindner says water levels will start dropping soon.
Water levels continue to decrease. In some cases, they're decreasing very rapidly. And we expect to have the majority of the flooding out of Harris County by sometime late tomorrow or early Saturday.
Floodwaters have heavily damaged tens of thousands of homes. Acting DHS Secretary Tom Bossert estimates 100,000 houses affected. FEMA reports 96,000 Texas residents have applied for emergency assistance. But BankRate Washington Bureau Chief Mark Hamrick says Harvey will eventually help the economy.
We've seen this with Superstorm Sandy, with Hurricane Katrina, that the rebuilding effort draws in resources and essentially cash to mount what will obviously be a massive recovery effort.
White House says President Trump is pledging $1 million of his own money to Harvey storm relief efforts. Fox News reports an Al-Qaeda affiliate linked to a regional ISIS faction has seized control of uranium mines in Africa with the intent of supplying the material to Iran. A diplomatic letter from a top Somali official is appealing to the U.S. for immediate military assistance. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker will appoint a successor to outspoken Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. The Stetson-wearing Clark is African-American and a vocal supporter of President Trump, who gained a national following on conservative media. Clark resigned yesterday without explanation. Well, Gordon, we talked about this dinosaur a few weeks back, the 122-foot-long plant-eater Patagotitan majorum, the largest land mammal on record. Well, Chicago's Field Museum has decided to put a fiberglass skeleton of it in their Stanley Field Hall next spring, but to fit it in, they'll have to remove the skeleton of their trademark and beloved Sue, the world's biggest T-Rex.
Wow. Move over, Sue.
Yeah.
The Patagotitan Maiorum is coming in.
Yeah, but Sue's going to get another space in a couple of years. They're going to buff her up and then move her.
I think the next thing in this whole marketing would be a fight between the two. Huh?
I can see it.
Epic.
I'm in.
6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A young boy in Indiana is working desperately to save his pet dog's life and has raised thousands of dollars to get his best friend some much-needed medical treatment. Story from CBS4 Indy. Lucas Fuller, who's 11, started his mission to save his dog, Bear, by posting flyers around his neighborhood in Pittsboro, about 30 miles northwest of Indianapolis. Says he mows lawns, trims gardens, washes cars. Says his very sick dog needs help, and it needs help now. His heartfelt flyer took off when a local posted it to Facebook. Then mom stepped in, created a GoFundMe account. The family set a fundraising target page of $2,000. As of yesterday, $3,500 had come in. And now Bear has been booked for his first round of treatment for his blastomycosis. He'll need 6 months to heal. For Rasa K, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.